Ushers, you may take your seat. Subject today, just one word, hope. And I'll tell you this in the outset. If you keep up with my points, you don't have any today. You'll have to make your own. So you will not be wrong in your points. They will all be right. Hope is one of the most uplifting emotions of which man is capable of. Hope is a desire for some good with the expectations of obtaining it. It is a pleasing expectancy, the cherishing of an aim with the thought of attaining it. With it, there's always a certain amount of joy and pleasure given to him or her by God for the purpose of making him or her better, since it enables them to bear better the burden that we have to bear. And in obtaining and having hope, it infuses strength within us where we are weak or where we are worn. Hope is a wonderful thing. In this passage of scripture that was read in your hearing, it's the first letter from Jeremiah to those that are in exile in Babylon. Jeremiah wanted to be an encouragement to the exiles by giving them a message from God. God told them to make the most out of their difficult circumstances. In the midst of the severest trial imaginable, after they had lost everything and had been deported to a foreign land, they needed to themselves to be a strong testimony for the Lord. Although they had not been living for the Lord, it was now time to settle down in exile and turn back to God and earnestly seek him with their whole heart. The recipients of this letter were the Jews who had been taken in exile by King Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. From all indication, this letter was written right after they had been deported in 597 B.C., It was then that the king and the queen mother were exiled along with all the other political leaders or religious leaders or anybody that's skilled that may can cause a problem later on. They were not allowed to stay. It was not their choice. Anybody that the king thought that may cause him a problem were carried away to Babylon. If you're going to cause me a problem later on, I might as well get rid of you now and not wait. And it's the same way with any people that conquer another people, the exile. In this instance, they were forced to march a long distance, hundreds of miles. Many of the Jews did not survive the grueling trip, but some of them did survive both the fighting and the forced marches of Babylon. All of them did not get killed. Some of them were carried in exile. Knowing the survivors desperately need for encouragement, this letter was sent along with another diplomat, all the other diplomatic mail that was sent by the king. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was given a correspondence, and it may have been from the king to assure him that we are coming, and we're going to obey you. We're going to do like you ask us to do, and we're going to send you the tributes as we are supposed to send them to you. Some of those that were carrying the passage, the mail, had been favorable to Jeremiah before. And some theologians and historical writers believe that they would have allowed Jeremiah to send this letter without the king being aware. Don't know. The Bible didn't say that. But it said that the letter went along with the other diplomatic mail that was going from the king to the captivity to Babylon. The encouragement of Jeremiah, he gave the encouragement to the exile. What Jeremiah told them was from God. And you have to understand that before this time, there was two sets of prophets. A false prophet and a real prophet. And it's a whole lot easier to believe a lie, help me Holy Ghost, than it is to believe the truth, because the lie sounds good all the time. The truth does not sound good. You going in exile does not sound good. And you're going to be there. The false prophets were saying it wasn't going to last long. Jeremiah saying it's going to last 70 years. Now, which one you going to believe? You going to believe the 2 years, the two time, a week, a month, 2 months, however, 70 years, and I'm already 65, I'm going to be dead by then. So what are they going to believe? The Lord was encouraging the people to turn their tragedy into triumph. And let me just stop right there. There's somebody you may be going through right now, and it seems like it's never going to work out. No matter what it is, sickness, problems in the house, or don't have a job, but stay faithful to God.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Yes. Out of tragedy, you can make a victory out of it. Think about what we're going to celebrate here in a little while, the communion.
Amen.
The death of Christ.
Yes.
On that day that he was hanging on the cross and Joseph of Arimathea and his buddies come along and got him off that cross, it didn't look good.
Yes.
Well, but 3 days later, mm-hmm. 3 days later,
yes.
Stepped out on resurrection ground.
Yes, Lord.
Ain't God good?
Yes.
All we got to do is lean and depend and trust in God and keep walking with him. When it looks like there's no way out, I will trust in the Lord and lean not to my own understanding. I'm going to stay right there because that's where I need to be. What Jeremiah was telling them in this letter, this word is from the Lord, and you are carried to where you are carried because of this God. God with God's people. When God's people are contrary to the will of God, hey, there are consequences for sin.
Yeah.
Doesn't say it's going to come right now, but there are consequences for sin. They had been sinning a long time, and God had been trying to get their attention. And they just would not listen to him because they just felt like that they were right. I know y'all probably been in church all your life, sanctified, saved, and full of the Holy Ghost. Born in the church, shouting in the church. Oh, but there are some of us,
yes,
that haven't been here all of our lives.
Yes.
And we were hard-headed and contrary to God. But he told us the same thing he told the church. If you just seek me, not with part of your heart, with all of your heart. And since he said, seek me with all your heart, that you got to seek it. There have to be something that you could seek him with part of it. I'm going to do right. I'm sick now. I'm on my bed of affliction. I'm going to do right now.
Uh-huh.
Let me get up, God.
All right.
Then after 2 or 3 weeks of getting up, I go right back to doing what I used to do. That's not with your whole heart. Your whole heart is come hell or high water. I'm going to serve this God that I serve. No matter what happens over here, you can come if you want. You can knock me down, step on me, stomp on me, but don't kill. You can't take it. What's on the inside? If we allow God to get down on the inside of us, we can withstand anything. But you got to go through. He didn't say you were going to get in the middle of it and stop. You got to go through. Jesus didn't stop dying whenever they, he went all the way through it. He went from the cross to the grave, and from the grave he went down into hell, and from hell he came out of there, stepped on resurrection. He didn't stop in the middle of it. He kept going through. Some of us, if we get to going through, we're going to turn around and go back. No, you got to keep going forward. You got to keep going forward because there's a blessing on the other side of through. Once you get through, there is a blessing. Let me get back. Let me get back. Let me get back. Those people that were carried in exile had lost everything that they had. Lost their jobs, their property, their homes, their land, their animal, had lost everything. But they had something that they did not recognize or realize that they had. And you got it too. The Word of God. You got it. Somewhere in there it says, if I hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. They had the word and they had the promise of God. And God's promise is better than Visa or Bank America. You can take it places it won't. It can't go. But the Word of God is what they had. They had that, and they didn't know that they had it. But it was there. They lost everything they had. Some of them had even lost their lives. Some wives had lost their husbands. They had lost their sons, even in battle. And some of them were wounded. And any time a people were captive, the women were treated real bad if they were not killed themselves. So they had lost all that. And on top of that, they had lost their freedom. They lost all this. And on top of this, I'm still carried away from, and I'm being transported to a place that I don't even know. Saying this time out. I thought about it. I saw something on a documentary a couple of months ago about slavery. It showed two teenagers who were being brought to America back in the day, and they had always been in Africa where it was hot, and they were sitting on the boat. And the young lady started breathing. The temperature had gotten down real low. When she breathed out, you know how that frost to come out your mouth? She asked the young man, say, I see the smoke coming out. Say, where's the fire? That might not make no sense to you, but she knew that smoke come from fire. And the smoke was coming out of her mouth and her nostrils, and she wanted to know where the fire was. She was being transported to an area that she knew nothing about. Temperature in Africa, to where she was from, did not get that low whether it would. Okay. But do you see how when you're you have problems when you have been conquered. You lose a lot. God will take you through whatever comes your way if you stand on the Word of God. God caused them to be carried into captivity because of their disobedience. They were not faithful to God. And he sent the king of Babylon as his agent to get his people to see that without me, you cannot make it. God used the nation of Babylon to come and carry them into captivity for 70 years. And in being an agent of God, fast forward ahead, and I'm going to bring you back again. Fast forward ahead, they were so evil to the nation of Israel that God put them under punishment too. See, God would use you. If you do like he said, it would be all right. But see, just like the children of Israel had a choice to serve God before they went into captivity, but they decided not. And I know Matal is hope.
And I'm going to get to hope. Hope is there. But I want you to see why we need to hold on to hope. No matter what the situation is, you got to have hope. Because hope will get you out of a lot of stuff that you couldn't get yourself out of. Being practical, the Lord had instructed the people how they were to live when they went into Babylon. Here, now look at this now, if you will. God used the nation of Babylon to take them into captivity. Here now he's telling the nation of Israel what you need to do while you're in captivity. See, this proves that no matter what you're in, God will not leave you alone. He'll always be there. He never leaves you alone. Told them, said, when you get to Babylon, don't just go and be a problem. See, sometimes when you get in situations, you have to be there for a while. Told them, said, build your houses. Plant your gardens. Give your sons and daughters to marriage. Let the population grow. Don't stay there and do nothing. Don't become a problem. God said, I'm going to be with you, even though you're going in captivity, if you just do like I tell you to do. Maybe without a job, husband or wife, maybe not doing right, but if you do like the Lord said do, he'll put bread on your table. He'll put a roof over your head. He'll make your children behave when it look like they ought to run wild. But because you're doing the will of God, no matter what happens or what comes or what goes, if you stand on the word of God, God's word is true, and all else will fail. But the word of God will not fail. He'll put hope in your life. And you got to understand, if you're going to believe in God, you're going to have some hope. And you're going to have to know that some things going to happen that you cannot see. My mind goes to a story I read one time. A man had been away from home for a little while doing something that he should have been doing. He was working, helping other people, and he started home. He wanted to stop by the store, but he didn't have enough money to get what he was thinking about getting. And said, God spoke to him, said, go on in the store. Said, I want you to get a gallon of milk. And the man said, he went in the store and he had enough money to pay for the gallon of milk. And said, when he got back out in the car, he said, God, what am I going to do with this gallon of milk? He said, Sister so-and-so that live on the second house on the left, on the third street to the right, said she need a gallon of milk. And he bought the gallon of milk and he carried it to the house, knocked on the door. The lady almost didn't open the door because it was a night. And so when she opened the door, he handed her the gallon of milk. So she said, Mister, said, who are you? So he told her his name. So she said, well, how did you know that I needed a gallon of milk? Said, my baby haven't had any milk all day long. Said, and I didn't have any money to get it. So he said, God sent me by. See, when you stay in tune with God, God will provide. And hope can get you there. Hope is when you're looking for something and you don't know where it's coming from, but you're trusting in the Lord and you're leaning not to your own understanding. You got to have hope. God told them to sell down. Don't get excited. Don't let your adrenaline get the flowing and you fight against where I have placed you. You need to understand that if you're walking with God, you're going to have difficulties and the devil is going to come against you, and he'll come in a way that you won't expect him to come. But if you just tell God, say, order my steps in your word. Lead me and guide me, and everything will be all right. I told them to do all those things, and they were obedient, and they did them. And after a while, by and by, they began to see that if you stay with God, everything will be all right. They began to love on one another. They began to do things for the Babylonians that they didn't think they was going to do, but they was trusting in God. They had hope, and they believed that God's word was true. that he was going to take them back into the homeland. They were to seek the peace and prosperity of the ones that had them in captivity. No, God, you got to be mixed up here. You got the wrong one. These people are treating me bad. I have to go to work and do whatever they want me to do. And you tell me that if they want me to work for 4 hours a day, I ought to work six, ought to work eight. Why do I need to do that, God? Because I said so. If you make peace, love can conquer a lot of things. Love can rule out hate. But if you just love the Lord and allow him to rule and guide in your life, love your enemies, defeat your enemies. You defeat them by making them your friend. Kindness will get you a long ways, and doing what God would have you to do. Can't see the end. Lord warned the people against listening to false prophets. Those people that had told them, you're not going to be here long, so you don't have to take all this stuff that they're doing to you. But oh Lord, but I remember old man Daniel. He went back and he read the book of Jeremiah, and he found out that they was only supposed to be there for 70 years and time had almost expired. But here they are. They're at the beginning of the 70 years and they got to live it. But Daniel read about it later. But God was in it all the time. You got to go through. You can't turn around. You got to go through. So whatever you're in, you need to have hope and you need to see the end of it. You need to see yourself. If you think you want to lose 25 pounds, don't see yourself not losing those 25 pounds. You need to see yourself losing those 25 pounds. If you smoke and you have cigarettes in your house and an ashtray, you need to see yourself without an ashtray or without cigarettes in your house. You need to see yourself. If you drink a whole lot of Pepsis, you need to see yourself with no Pepsis in your house. I don't have any in my house. Every now and then I might drink one, but I don't drink them like I used to. My point is, you need to see yourself without it. If you don't see yourself without it, it will always be there. You need to see, and what God was telling them, you need to see yourself coming back to your homeland. That's why when you go there, you need to make sure that you help those people that have you in bondage. If the boss treats you bad, don't you treat him bad. If everybody is talking about him and you walk up to the water cooler, you turn around and go the other way. Yes. Don't you stay there, because God, if you're God's child, yes. I ain't talking about if you want everybody to believe you're God's child. You got to know. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you're God's child. Yes. And the world will come against you when you're God's child. But you can withstand it because you know whose you are. This message about helping the nation of Babylon prosper was not a popular message because it sounds better if I'm only going to be here for 6 months than 70 years. Get a dream for yourself. See yourself where you think, where you know you need to be. And when you see yourself where you know where you need to be, you work towards that end. You do what is necessary to get what you need, but don't go away from the Word of God. You have to stay in the Word of God. And this is what God was telling them. This was ordained by God. But it was ordained by God because they would not do like they were supposed to have been doing all the time. They were believing the false prophets, living the way they think they should do. And they were not seeking God with their whole heart. They were coming all the time doing all the sacrifices that they needed to do, the physical sacrifice, but their heart wasn't in it. They weren't living the way that the way God said for them to live. They were bringing the sacrifice when they were supposed to bring it. They were tithing like they were supposed to tithe, but they weren't living. You got to live this thing. You got to live it. If you're going to just be a Christian on Sunday, you fooling yourself.
Yes.
You got to be one 24/7. Even when you're home with them bad children, that wayward husband, you got to be one then. When you're on that job that nobody likes you, that wasn't the message that they wanted to hear. And on top of all that, they were homesick for their own homeland. And some of them had never been to the homeland, but they were homesick for the land because they had heard so much about how good God was to them when they were in the land. And He had promised them that they were going to go back. And they were telling the younger ones that we're going back to Jerusalem. And they're saying, when? What Jeremiah was trying to do with this letter was put encouragement within them. Brothers and sisters, those of us that have one or two sunrises behind us, those that's coming behind us, we need to encourage them that no matter how dark things may seem, if you build your house upon the word of God, the storm may come, the rain may come, the snow, the frost, everything may come, but the word of God, it will stand. Because it's built on the rock, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You got to stand on the word of God. And this is what Jeremiah was telling them. You need to just stay right there. Because the false prophets are going to always be there. They're going to be there. They was trying to get them to rebel. And there's no rebellion. You can't rebel against God. You're already defeated because everything is in his hand. The false prophets were preaching lies. The false prophets were saying God had not sent them to Babylon, that God had nothing to do with it. And this was not true. They were not true prophets. They were false prophets. They were spreading their own fears on other people. When you know what it takes to make somebody fearful, it's easy to get them to be fearful. But when you're standing on the word of God, I don't see how I'm going to get out of this, but I'm trusting in you. And see, sometimes you have to know the promises of God. You have to know what he said. And one of my favorite ones is that he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. So devil, come on. You may take me out. But Paul said, I remember just a little bit of it, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And you have to make that decision. Yes, and you might not physically kill me. You might take my job. You might take my car. You may wreck my reputation down here on earth, but you can't wreck it with God if I'm standing on the word of God. This world is not my home. I'm just a stranger traveling through. I'm on my way out of here. Man that is born of a woman, as soon as he's born, he's on his way to the graveyard. No matter how long he stands, if you're standing on the word of God, you yet have hope that you can, that you're going to make it. I don't see it doesn't pay to have to see God, physically see him. But you have to know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that he's standing with you. That unseen guest around the bedroom when you're sick. When I don't have a way out, when the car is coming straight at me, and I can't get out of the way, but yet I get on the other side.
Yes, sir.
You have to know that. You have to have hope and trusting in this God that we serve. He promised them that their return would not take place until after 70 years. Mm-hmm. And in doing that span of 70 years, you need to start seeking me with your whole heart. And I said, I've said this before, and that's one thing that bothers me. If I got to seek him, is he lost or am I lost? And I answered it, I'm lost. If we seek him, we'll find him. But you can't fool God. You can't fool God by just attending worship service. You can't fool God by just paying your tithe or just going to see the sick or just being real nice and helping people. You can't fool God. Your heart needs to be in what you're doing. You need to do it because of your love for God. If I don't call your name and you did something and you get ticked off and go home, all you wanted me to do was call your name and pat you on the back. You better do like a lot of the other people in this church are doing. Just do stuff and say, don't mention that I did it. Just God knows what I've done. They have hope and trust in God and not in you patting them on the back, me patting them on the back. We need to do what we do because you're trusting in him. That's your hope. If your trust is in me and your hope is in me, I'm telling you, it's lost. You got to trust in God.
Amen. Yes.
Because he's the one that can make us, can take us through. They were to be in exile for 70 years. That's a long time. And he only promised us a lifetime of 70, which is 70 years. One lifetime is what he promised them, what he told them, where they would be in that place of Babylon. And God is true to his word. They needed to follow the instructions of the Lord.
Yes.
We need to follow the instructions of the Lord.
Yes.
Here they are.
Yes.
Right here. And you can dissect them and put them all, but it's all going to turn around to the same thing. Obedience to the word of God. Does this mean that if I mess up one time, I'm out? No, it doesn't. But when I picked up a piece of stick the other day and I didn't see it had a sticker on it. And as soon as I picked it up, I hit the sticker. I hung up and turned it loose. That's the way we need to do with stuff that we do this wrong. I didn't intentionally pick it up. I picked it up. It was a mistake. When you mess up, you need to hurry up and repent. I repented of picking it up because I put it down. I didn't let that sticker stay in my hand. I hurry up and got it out of my hand. That's the way we need to do when we do something wrong. We need to hurry up and get to God and ask him to forgive us for what we've done. And if you repent it from your heart and not your head, God will forgive you. Told them, gave them proper instructions of how to live through those 70 years. If we follow the instructions of God, we will get through whatever comes our way. But you have to follow his instructions. If you don't follow his instructions, you will not make it through. You will not be able to stand strong if you do not follow the word of God. You'll stand for a little while. And everything will be going well, but after a while, it will fall right back to the same place because you're not standing on the word of God. The devil will give you instant success. It seems like it's okay, but it won't last. It will not last. God's instruction, he instructs us to make the most out of the circumstances that we're in.
make the most out of the circumstances that you're in. And if you're trusting in him and you do the best that you can, God's part is a done deal. If I make the most out of the best out of the circumstances that I am in, then God will get me through what I'm in. Does this mean it's going to be a bed of roses? No, it's not. You may hit some bumps in the road, but then who caused them? If the people of the nation of Israel would have lived the way God had instructed them to live in the beginning, they never would have had to go into Babylon in the beginning. So, but since they did wrong, there are consequences for sin. You might not get the consequence today. It might come 6 years later. It might come 70 years later. But the consequences are, you have to make sure that you're standing on the word of God. And while they were in captivity, they turned to God, and God did not turn them away. Seek me with your whole heart, not part. And when they start seeking him, then the time when you're going through, if your faith grows while you're going through, it won't take long. You young people won't understand this. When you get to the age of 21, time seems to roll downhill rather than uphill, because it flies around, it flies real fast. Birthdays come before you wake up the next morning. You've already aged a couple of years after you turn 21. But until you get there, it seems like you will never get there. But when you're serving God, oh, what a hallelujah good time. Because you forget about yourself and you just think about the time that you're in with him. Doesn't matter how bad it may seem, whatever it is, if you're trusting in God, he can get you through it. But you have to know that you're trusting in him. If you can see your own way out, you don't need God. And you're a lot better man or woman than I am. Stuff I get in, I can't see my way out. That's why I'm trusting in him. You have to get to the place where you are like the nation of Israel. They went into captivity, and they were going to be there for 70 years. But then they start seeking God and turning to him. And I said it earlier, he's not lost. I'm the one that's lost, but I have to seek him. And when I find him, there gets to be a peace. Might not have everything I think I need, but I would trust in the Lord, because I've found him, and I found that everything that I need, he got it. There's nothing that a child of God needs that he does not have. He will provide whatever you stand in the need of. I'm through, but I found this illustration, and I thought it went well with hope. And it's entitled The Master's Letter. A woman had an unusual and meaningful dream. She was looking into a room crowded with people, all of them obviously deeply distorted. In the dream, she intuitively knew the reason for their distress. The reason for their distress was that they lived and died feeling they had not lived up to what God wanted them to be. Suddenly, the door to the room opened, and Jesus walked in. Seeing everyone in such distress,
He was moved to compassion and walked around the room. He stood in front of each person in turn. My child, why are you crying? He asked the first one. I'm crying, Lord, because my husband died when we were so young. And from then on, I was just lost without him. I wanted to serve you, but I was too lonely and upset all of those years to do anything. Jesus said, but didn't you get my letter? His voice was heavy and heavy with concern. What letter? Did you write me a letter? Oh, yes, he said. I wrote you a letter and told you not to worry, that you believe in God, also in me, that I would not leave you comfortless. The woman looked surprised. You know, the minister read that letter at my husband's funeral, but I didn't know it was personally from you to me. Jesus stepped to the next person in the room. The man said, Lord, I couldn't live for you because there was too many things I always had to be worried about. Oh, then you didn't get my letter either. No, Lord, did you write me a letter? Yes, my son. And in it, I told you about the birds of the air. They don't worry about the next meal, and yet they are fed. I told you to put me first, for I have work for you to do, and I'd give you everything you really needed. Oh, Lord, I remember reading that, but I didn't know you meant it for me. Around the room, the master went from every melee of problem that was there was represented. There was words of healing to help from the healing and help from the scripture, but no one had taken time to read them. So whatever you have is in the word. Hope, hope, hope is in the word. God has something for each one of us, but we have to have the hope that's within each one of us to strive and to believe that he will do just what he said he would do. We extend an invitation.